we have two kind of fathers beside the Heavenly Father. The first father is our biological fathers, or the fathers that raised us, for which we give thanks. But there's also the founding fathers. And the reason that I want to link them today is because those founding fathers of Texas and those founding fathers of our country are about to be celebrated in a couple weeks. And I want to begin today and then finish up on the 5th to talk about how this nation has a destiny based upon our origin, based upon how we began, and then how much we have deviated from that foundation. If you deviate, there's judgment. If you stick to it, then there's blessing and benefit. And so our nation was originally dedicated by the founders, whether in Texas or here in the United States, dedicated to God. It was one nation under God. And the only way you could guarantee that that would stay the same would be if it were in the hearts and lives of the people. And therefore, we as a Christian people, or as a Christian portion of the people, would be primarily responsible for that, keeping God alive and not losing that. But I want to explain today why that foundation was so unusual, so peculiar, so unique in the history of the world. We were formed in a way by a people that had several thousand years of history before it, and we came up with a new idea, something that was novel and different, and that was to follow the biblical understanding, what's in the Bible, about how God sees government and how God sees a nation. And so the concept or the idea that people had rights had never been part of human history. Never. Never in the ancient world was there any human being that had a right, that was recognized, that was acknowledged, that was protected, that was made secure by any form of government whatsoever. And so until the latter part of the 18th century, for the first time in the history of the world, concepts were turned into experiments. And this is the place where it began. And Texas not only continued that, but actually improved upon it. And I will explain later how the Texans actually improved upon that. In the ancient world, prior to Christianity, the biggest guy in town was the king or some great warrior. And so it was the military might or the power or the grandeur of a king or of a military dictator of some sort that determined everything. So there were no rights for individuals. There were no parliaments. There were no businessmen who had rights. There were no people that had any rights at all that were recognized, because the king was everything, and his royal prerogative rights trumped everything else. Now, he might acknowledge that he acted in the name of the people of England or the name of the people of Scotland or whatever, but the truth is he had all the power. He had all the authority. He had all the rights. And his word was law. Whatever came out of his will and pleasure, his mouth, his majesty, that was it. And so that was the ancient world. Then in the medieval world, after Christianity, a new idea came up that not men, not people, but the Pope or some emperor or some prince or some priest or some archbishop or somebody, they had all the power. And so it became obvious then that the great military kings and mighty men were no longer the ruling people because of Christianity. And so the Catholic Church dominated for well over 1,000 years, much more than that, actually. But they dominated all of society. And so people still had no power, no recognition, no value, no worth, other than what was assigned either by the emperor or by the pope. And so in the medieval world, even emperors and kings were subject to the pope. And the pope was a king over kings. And so now you had a world in which religious values dominated and all religion was enforced upon the people, whether they liked it or not. For example, the barbarians who made up much of Europe were just simply gathered together by Roman armies, and now they were dictated by, let's say, Charlemagne or somebody else, and they just wrestled them all together out of Germany or France or wherever, and you either submit or your head was chopped off. And it was, I don't know, it's a unique idea that religion should be forced upon a people. And for some reason, most of the barbarians chose to become Christian. Well, of course, they weren't born again. They weren't filled with the Spirit. They weren't trained in any way to love Jesus or anything. And so they made some pictures on the church walls and stuff like that, and had rich liturgies going. And so the people kind of got the idea, okay, we're Christian now, but none of them were born again, or very few of them. And so now, instead of a godly military dictator, as in the ancient world, some great Nebuchadnezzar or Pharaoh or Assyrian Sennacherib and so on, instead of those kind of big shots, now we had popes who, the tallest buildings in town weren't palaces, but were cathedrals. And so it was obvious in the whole town that the people were nothing. They had no role in either government or in church. They just were told what to do, and their only job was obey. Just do what you're told. Your betters have decided for you. And so those kind of ideas still go on in the world today. Much of the world is still ruled in those primitive ways. But again, the people had no rights. Then parliaments kind of grew up after just about the time of the Reformation, and because they started reading the Bible, and they got these ideas out of the Bible that the people should have some kind of voice. Vox populi, you know, vox Dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. And even so, it's just a concept, because nobody ever put it into practice. King Henry VIII just decided, you know, instead of having a pope over England, I think I'll be the head of the state and the head of the church. I'll just save all the monastery lands and get rich by that. And I'll just take over. And who can stop me? I've got the army. I'm the king. And I'll appoint the archbishop, so I'll be okay. And so people like that idea in Europe, that whatever the religion of the prince was, that was the religion of the country. So again, the people had no rights. The people had no values. They had no worth. They just simply did what they were told. So over the long history of mankind, until the modern world, pretty much it was either strong men who were monarchs or kings or warriors or some kind of dictators, tyrants. Or then during the medieval time, where the popes ran the show, and the archbishops and bishops and priests and so on and so forth, and ran each of the local parishes, the people still had no value. Now, what's wrong with all that is that God had a different idea. And even though everybody acknowledged God is supreme, still he had no say. So imagine you're God, but actually you have no, you don't have any say in what's going on. So it's God's world, and yet he doesn't get to rule his own world. And he unfortunately gave man a lot of discretion, and so men took advantage of that, and everybody was willing to say, hey, divine right of kings, I'm a king, so God appointed me to be the top guy. Or the Pope said, hey, I'm the vicar of Christ. Christ appointed me to be the top guy. So I'm kind of taking his job for him, but I'm sure he goes along with it because I was his appointee. After all, I'm a successor of Peter and so on. And so all this is the history of the world until America. Now, America decided to change the whole equation and make an individual person have values and rights and privileges and immunities and franchises and so on and so forth. And that was a whole new concept. What are people? The Bible even asked that question. What is man that God should be mindful of him? So this is how our world came to be, and we're about to lose it. How many know today the people are not in charge? I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but that's just a concept again. And even though it seemed to go for a little while, once Ben Franklin was asked by a woman outside the Philadelphia place where they had decided how to write the Constitution, what kind of government did you give us? He said, well, we didn't give you anything. It's your republic if you can keep it. It's not ours. It's yours. And what he was saying was, you may not be able to keep this because you'd have to have a very strong relationship with God in order to keep this thing, because we haven't designed it for a bunch of pagans. We haven't designed it for a bunch of, you know, Nebuchadnezzars and Nimrods and big shots. We didn't design it for church people either. We designed it for a free people. And you can have justice if you can keep it, but you may not be able to. And sure enough, we've just about lost it, even here in Texas. One state under God. That's just a bunch of words unless you put reality to it. And so the Supreme Court a couple days ago, they decided that homosexual rights were fundamental. In other words, they were to be constitutionally protected. And five of the justices said that. And then three of them said that they disagreed with that vehemently. And then one other abstained, one that actually lives here in Fort Worth, and just decided not to get in on the deal. So what is America's destiny based upon our foundation and Texas also? What role does it play? How is church in any way related to the state? Theories and concepts and words have zero meaning, none. If in fact some dictator just takes over, or if in fact some religious, imam just takes over. So today you got, you know, imams just taking over wherever they are, maybe Michigan or wherever they happen to be. They just take over and chop your head off if you don't go their way and set up their own kind of laws. So who are we now as a people? Are we deviating from the original concepts and ideas, or are we sticking to them? Well, Texas, as you know, we believe, let's stick with the original. But the Supreme Court just simply said, well, no, this is an anti-Christian thing. I mean, we're not going with Christianity on this. We don't care about the people. We don't care what the people's voice is. They just had passed a law recently about marriage being between a man and a woman and so on and so forth. But we're going this way, that they now have a constitutionally fundamental right to get a homosexual divorce if they want to have one, and so on and so forth. So now the majority of the opinion of the court went in favor of that, and so Christians are out to lunch again, and you'll be persecuted and do hate crimes and so on and so forth. So who are we today? I just thought it'd be fun to look at the Bible to see if God has any rights and if God has any ideas or concepts that still might hold. And I'm kind of stuck with the God thing and the Bible thing, as I kind of think God made the whole world. It should be His. He should have a say in it. And so I'm willing to die for that physically as well as in every other way. So I put a lot of stake in the fact that not only does America have a future, it's not the way that it looks like it's going right now. It's not going to be the way people think. Where do I get that? I get that out of the Bible. That the Bible says that the best has been saved to the last. So that's a weird idea, that God should be able to dictate ahead of time how the world should end. And guess what? According to God, He likes people. He likes people. And he really doesn't look at kings as divine right at all. In fact, there's nothing in nature that says one man should be king over another. It's just, there's nothing in nature like that. Oh, you were born to be a king. Oh, you were born to be a jerk. There's nothing like that in nature. I mean, no, that nature doesn't have that concept. So it's not rational even. We're all equal. Everybody's created equal. Now, I want to show you where we get these ideas, where our founders in Texas and our founders in America came up with those ideas that are eternal. They don't change just because people are voting one way, or five of the justices vote this way and three others vote that way and one other decides to abstain. I don't want to say. By the way, whether they like it or not, we could outvote them. I mean, vote them out of office. And so that's a cruel system there that we have, where even though it's just a theory, actually, if the people wanted it, they could turn things around. So I thought I would throw in my two cents and say, I want to go back to the Bible. I like the Bible. Amen. Now, in the first chapter of Genesis, verse 26, in Hebrew, well, I'll read it in English, then I'll tell you what the Hebrew says. In English, it says that God created man, Adam, in His own image and likeness. That's what the English says. But that's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says, Betzalemnu kedemutnu. Well, the little nu on the end means our. Let us create man in our image. So, tselem is the word for image, and be is the little word, B-E, for in image ours. Okay, so let us create men in image ours. How many know that men were not created in the image of a cricket? How many know you were not created in the image of a cricket? You are not created in the image of a butterfly, even though some people behave in a flighty but beautiful manner. Or you are not created in the image of a rock, or a tree, or a bush, or a cloud. And so we were created by God in His own very image. In other words, we look like God instead of a turtle. I mean, some people look like a turtle, but we don't. Most of us do not. And so I have a very long neck, so I could be kind of like a turtle. Giraffe. So... that is weird. That is weird. However, God said, let's create man in a unique individual fashion unlike anything else I've created. It won't be like any animal. Remember Adam went and tried to name all the animals, see which one he'd like to date? Remember the redhead, the orangutan? He thought, see, it was pretty, she had pretty hair, but man, her arms are strong. She could throw me over branches and stuff. And I don't think I want to date her anymore. And so on and so forth. So he tried all the various animals. I don't know, maybe some of you believe in the evolutionary idea that man came from a monkey. Does anybody, you're at least went to school and heard about that idea? Well, let me just ask you a question. If you were created like a chimpanzee or a gorilla or something, and you had a sickness or a disease, how would you like a blood transfusion from a chimpanzee? So the problem in cytochemistry is that you would die instantly. Their blood doesn't match our blood. But all human blood could be a match. We have different types, but nevertheless, if you got a human blood transfer, it might work. But not any monkey of any sort, the gibbon or whatever. So I want you to know there's nothing in science that would be helpful for you to think, well, I need some help, and my ancestor, this chimp over here, he's willing to do it. So if he'll just lay down next to me, I'll be okay. It won't work. You'll be dead. No, I'm just making a joke out of it to tell you there's nothing related. Man is not related at all to a sponge or to gas or to some kind of, caterpillar or something. You are unique, according to the Bible. You are unique. And all of experience bears it out. You're not a monkey. I mean, I know you can behave like a monkey. You could act like a monkey. I understand that. But nevertheless, you are a human being made by God in His own image, and you have the stamp, the image of God, imprinted upon you from the moment you are conceived. You will not turn out to be some animal. Never. You will not turn out to be a flower. You will not turn out to be a rock or a tree or a bush or a cloud. So, you are unique. But the kedumetnu, so kedumut is according to, that is to say, you're created in the image of God according to His likeness. But that's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says kedumut, nu, the nu is our. According to our likeness. But it doesn't say that. What it's saying is, you are created in the image of God, Betzalemnu, having the capacity, the potential, to act like and make decisions like and have the freedom like God. In other words, you get to choose your own destiny. You get to choose your own way you're going to live. No one else can choose for you. Because you were made like God. And no one else can make God's decisions for him. He can make his own decision. And you can too. So he made you in his image according to his likeness so that you can make the same decisions no animal can make, no plant can make, no rock can make, no tree can make. You are unique. And so when he created you, he actually took his finger and wrote on you and said, this one is mine. This one is mine. This one is mine. And so every individual, you, is unique, different than others. Even though we're all human, we're all uniquely human, not just in a big blurry thing called human. You're actually a special individual with God's name written on you and his image imprinted on you that says you belong to God as his creature. You're God's personal creature. That's amazing. I mean, if you think about that, that is extraordinary. Because though the rest of the world is also ruled by certain laws, you have a liberty they don't have. There's nothing in creation that has the liberty you have. For example, have you ever listened to your dog talk to another dog and tell a joke? They just don't. Hey, Fido, did you hear the one about, they don't do that. And you could go down to the zoo and watch them for eons, and they never type up, anything like Plato's Republic or, Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew. They just don't do it. Animals, you ain't. You are created in the image of God, and you have a special destiny and purpose that God imprinted on you when he said, Barbara is going to be mine. She's going to have a name. It's going to be an individual name. And she's going to have a purpose that I give her to worship me. She'll have that freedom to worship me if she wants to or not. Let's say she doesn't want to. I'm going to give her that freedom. That is amazing. Animals don't have freedom. They operate by instinct. And so even though you think they're moving this way or doing this and so on, they're totally, totally biologically determined. They're biologically determined. So it's operating by a law. You're not. You actually are free to say to God, I don't want to worship you. And that's okay. That's okay. God gave you that. You have the right to worship him or not. And in any way you feel like, whatever you think is best. That is unique in the history of mankind. And it's that created the modern world. And it's that made the Americans write the words they wrote and set up the institution they set up and create what we now call America and what we now call Texas. So that's how they did it. They got this idea right out of the Bible that every individual is unique, made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, you cannot destroy them. You cannot take them away from God, and you cannot prevent them from worshiping the way they want. Let's say they don't want to worship at all. Hey, you can't stop them. You can't say you can't do it. And if they want to believe something weird, they're free to. That's unique. There's no way that a lion out in the jungle can say to the other lion, I don't feel like hunting today, or whatever. They don't really have that kind of freedom. I've decided not to be a lion today. I'm going to kind of go among the gazelles and be a little friendlier than we've been recently. That is not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. If you're a crocodile, you're a crocodile. And you don't care if it's a little baby monkey or a baby human being. It just fell into the river. You got that thing. That's it. And there's no moral code that says, alligator, you are bad. You're going to alligator hell. There's nothing like that. So that alligator is just doing what alligators do. And when a dog bites you, he's just doing what dogs do. No matter how much of a pet you thought he was, and so on and so forth. So what I'm saying to you is, America, you cannot understand America unless you understand how they read that scripture, that particular one right there, that every man has written on him and impressed upon him a uniqueness that only God has a relationship to, and nobody else can intervene. Nobody else can interpose. Nobody else can be a mediator between you and God. You can worship him or not. That's your decision. No one can force you against your own conscience. So every man, Article 1-6 of the Texas Constitution, every man has a natural and indefeasible, can't defeat it or destroy it, right to worship God according to the dictates of his own, not the government's. Not some pope, not some other religious leader, some Muslim telling me how to do it or what I have to do to spare my life. You can't tell me. Even if you take my life, I can do it anyway. Because God gave me that right, and you're not going to take it from me. That's a unique idea in the history of the world. I don't have to ask the king's permission. I don't have to say, Mother, may I? I just can make that decision myself. I don't have to ask the chief of the tribe. I don't have to ask the witch doctor. Well, I think I'm going to convert to Jesus. I don't have to ask anybody's permission. I just do it and suffer. So what? That's your glory. That's your dignity. That's your value. That's your worth that only God gave you and nobody can take from you. And it's happened from the foundation of the world. But as you can see, most of the world doesn't have that kind of liberty. This was unique to our country, and it's about to be taken away. It's about to be lost unless you and I do something about it. It'll just be gone. Because the majority of Americans today, it's not clear where they are. They're not taught that in school anymore. They don't have a Bible on the desk of the judge anymore. You might raise your hand and say something, but it's no longer, there's no Bible to do. Somebody say, I want to swear on the Bible. Fine, just raise your right hand. No, but I want a Bible here so I can swear that away. There isn't any. You just make a statement. And so things have changed. And so I'm not sure where we are today. We've kind of lost our way from the original idea where every man had dignity, value, worth, equal, male or female, young or old, black or white, to everybody else, equal. That every man has that natural and indefeasible right. Now today, courts don't even pay attention to that stuff. That's just a bunch of words, a bunch of concepts. And they're not taught that in law school anyway. And it's just a matter of making money off of you and so on and so forth. Nobody cares about justice. Well, okay, I do. I still do. I believe in that thing that God said about man. And I treat everybody that way. It's not a concept for me. It's a reality. I believe Peggy and I are equal. I don't believe I'm taller. I don't believe I'm smarter, though. That Peggy, she can keep arguing forever. She's awesome. I can say something like this. Peg, be quiet. I got it. And she'll just get it. Just keep going. Peg, I got it. I'm like, you know what? She just keeps going. Peg, I'm trying to focus on what I'm doing here, and you keep talking to me. Well, I'm a human being too. And so I love it. I have a perfect wife. Well, that's the kind I like. I like a wife like that that'll emasculate you and tear you down, say what she wants to say. Do y'all see that? You may not have the sense of humor that I have. Even Peggy doesn't appreciate my sense of humor. But I love her just the way she is. And after she's done yelling and saying all that stuff, and okay, we'll do it the way you say. No, I don't want you just to agree to me. I want you to really believe what I'm saying. No. I just want to get rid of all this yelling and talking and wasting of time and so on. So, well, I'm valuable too. Okay, all right. What do you want me to do? Get on my knees? What? Do y'all see how much fun it is to be married? I think it's awesome. So anyway, that's fine. And I quickly surrender to her. Peg, you don't need to do that. I'll just, whatever you say, we'll just do what you say. It's very clear. You just want to dominate me? Dominate me. Go ahead. I'll go along with it. You're not laughing. At any rate, everybody is equal. And I agree with that. I agree. There's nobody that I can despise or hate or use or abuse. I mean, I do it. But there's nobody that I can do that justly. Why? Because they have the same value and worth and dignity as I do. And I see it that way. And so even bad guys, I pray for them. Wicked people, nasty people, filthy people, perverted people. I don't care. They're the same as I am. I don't see any difference. I may not behave that way. I may not believe what they believe. But I do believe that they're equal value to me. Do you see what I just said? Now, that's what made America different than other countries, and probably isn't much true anymore. Some, yes, especially here in Texas, we still are a little bit weird and still believe in those original documents and stuff. But most other states have already, they're way beyond us. They're post-modern, post-Christian, post-God, post-something or other. They're beyond us. But down here, I'm stuck in this old thing in the Bible. And so now here's another scripture. Exodus 33:19. Y'all know it. Obviously, I can tell by the look on your face, you don't know it. Okay. So this one is where Moses was up on the mountain with God. And God told Moses, you know, I find favor with you. I favor you. And here's what Moses said. God, okay, you say I found favor with you. However, I say this. Why don't you prove it by showing me all your glory? That's a great idea. How many know Moses was smart? Hey, I mean, it's this idea, you know, you find favor and so on, but hey, why don't you prove it? Why don't you show me all your glory? Because you got me here kind of in the middle of this whole thing with Israel and everything. And I think I need a little help here. Could you show me all your glory? That would be a help. So God said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Not exactly what you're asking, but yeah, I'll kind of do it. I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock here. See this little opening right there? I'm going to put you there, and you stand there. And then I'm going to pass by, but I'm going to stick my hand over your face so you can't see my face. But then I'm going to take my hand away and you can see my backside. So that's how he did it. So he showed Moses his backside. How many know there's a difference between looking at somebody face to face and then looking at their backside? I mean, you're not seeing a lot of glory when you look at somebody's backside. I don't know about you, but anyway, that was the way God did it. So he hit him in the rock. That's because Moses was a legalistic guy, a law guy. He was a law guy. And so he said, the law doesn't get to see my face. In other words, I'm not into law. Everybody thinks I am because I gave this law. And I got laws everywhere doing stuff. But it's not my heart. To see my heart, you got to look into my eyes. I don't reveal my heart through my law. That's my left hand. I reveal that through my right hand, through Jesus. So if you want to see Jesus, one day they said, well, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What? No. Show us the Father. Then we'll be satisfied. Just a quick look at the Father. You know, that'll do it. I did that one day on 820 here. I was driving along and I just said to God, God, I know this is wrong. I know it's not good theology, but could you just quickly put your hand out like that of a cloud, you know, because it's a cloud, no one else will see it, but I will. And I was driving west on an 820 going west. And as I was driving, I just said, God, before I become a Christian and really submit my whole life to you, if you just do this one miracle thing, just quickly put your hand like that. Let me see how big it is and how massive you are and so on. Then I'll surrender to you. Otherwise, I don't know if you're real or not. Could you do a miracle like that for me right now? No one's looking. I'm the only one right here on the road. Go ahead, do it now. Oh, no, he didn't do it. Rats. I'm not going to just believe in you. I need some proof. I mean, you know, that was the wrong theology, bad theology, but still, that was the one I had. So Moses was the same way. He wanted to see God's heart. He wanted to see the heart of God. If I favor you, well, let's see your little heart. Don't just give me these words about what not to do. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, no, that's no God. That's no fun at all. Can't eat meat. You can't eat fish. You can't eat salt. You can't eat sugar. You can't eat fat. You know, what can you eat? I mean, oh God, you got so many rules, that is no fun at all. I mean, because he's got too many rules about, you know, it's got to be Friday evening to Saturday evening. It's got to be on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know. He's got all these silly rules for people. People just don't like rules. I don't know if God has learned that or not. But rules just, they just kind of bind you up and tie you down, limit you. I mean, I want freedom. Do what I want, when I want, how I want. Does anyone else kind of grew up that way? You just want to be yourself. Say what you want, where you want, when you want. And, you know, just kind of make yourself obnoxious if you want. Some of you are doing it. I mean, it's awesome. It is awesome. I'm telling you, it's great. And I love it. I like it when people are exactly what they are. You don't have to be phony or fake or hide the beer when I cover it. You know, just be yourself. Be a jerk. Be an idiot. Be wrong, whatever. Just be you. I like people the way they are. I'm not into makeup and all that stuff. Just, Peg, just don't wear anything. Just be yourself. If you're ugly, you're ugly for Jesus. It's okay with me. Do y'all see that? Well, no, most men like it fixed up a little bit. I'm not one of those. I don't want that. I don't want perfume and all that stuff. Fake you out. Give me the real halitosis. Just, you know, that's love. When you can turn over to your wife in the morning and she has bad breath and you have bad breath and give them a kiss and so on and so forth. And that's real. Do y'all see that? Most of you are hypocrites. You're phony. You're just fake. But I like people as they are. I don't mind them swearing or whatever they want to do. That's okay with me. It doesn't at all trouble me or bother me. I know it's not approved of by God, but still, who does what God approves? Who does everything that God wants? So the fact that you've picked out two or three things and you've picked out six or seven, I mean, that is irrelevant. The point is, nobody wants to do what he wants. I mean, nobody. And God said he wants us to be perfect. Nobody. Nobody's ever done it. I haven't done it. I mess up, you know, every day, at least once. Well, okay, probably every hour. Okay, probably every nanosecond, I'm doing something wrong or thinking something. I'm not perfect. I just can't keep it up. It just wears me out. Is anybody else like that? So what made America great was we didn't build this government for a holy people. This wasn't like Israel tried to do, make a holy people out of it. That didn't work. How many know that never worked? You can read the whole Old Testament. It's all about how they goofed up. They never did do what he wanted. And I don't think Christians have improved much on that deal. A lot of what Christians do is pretty yucky. Did you notice that Christians have as many divorces as the rest of the world? So God can be against it if he wants, but it doesn't stop anybody from doing what they want. We have as much perverts as the rest of the world. How many know that the churches are full of perverts and, you know, liars and hypocrites and so on? Could I hear an amen? It's a weak amen, but okay, it's an amen. The point is that Christians aren't perfect. Remember God said, "Be ye perfect as I am perfect." He must have been speaking kind of poetically or something, because I don't see it. All have sinned. That makes sense to me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I get that. And I like the idea of God forgives sinners. I take advantage of that one daily. Did another one. Thanks. Thank you. Okay, I did it again. And then I just put tape on it. just keep it going. Because I'm proud that I put that there, and then I take the tape off to be humble. But then, so I can never please God. How many know you can't please God? There's nothing you can ever do to please God unless he's pleased with you already. Well, he is, because he put his signature on you from the beginning. This one is mine. And then he had Jesus die for all my sins and then give me the same Holy Spirit he and Jesus have, sent that inside of me. I don't know where it came through or how it got in there, but it must be in there because he said it would come inside. And now that guy is perfecting me, and I don't even know how he operates. He's a ghost. I don't know how ghosts operate. You know, you can't see them or take a photograph of them or anything. And yet he said he's perfecting me, and on the last day, according to the Bible, on the last day when the trumpet sounds, I'll have a new body, a new soul to go along with my new heart. I think that's incredible. And I believe that. I actually believe I'm getting better and better every day. Sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Yet I actually believe that. I actually believe, now this is what I believe, I actually believe that this is like heaven on earth for me. Imagine being able to be a pastor and get paid. Because what do? 1 hour on Sunday morning, that's about it. And then they just show up, do a little, thing, and then they get paid. I think it's awesome. It's better than work. It's awesome. So, I am so blessed. Thank you all, by the way, for hiring me like that. But I told this morning in Dallas, one of the things that our parents thought about when Peggy wanted to marry me just before we got married was they said, well, Peg, is he ever going to stop going to school and get a job? And they would ask me also, the aunt and uncle and different ones would ask me, now, you are going to get a job one of these days, aren't you? Well, I don't know. I'm kind of doing well in school. I kind of enjoy it. And Peggy, don't say yes. No, I don't want to lie. They asked me a question. And so I enjoyed being, a student. And I was kind of thinking that, well, I'd go to school while Peggy worked, and that'd probably take care of that. They were horrified. So the night before we got married, Peggy was, in her house listening to her parents in the next room. She doesn't remember what they said, but she knew whatever it was, it totally depressed her for the next day. So by the time I saw her when we got married, she wasn't at all happy and radiant and excited to be married to me. She was totally depressed that her parents weren't at all convinced this was a good match. Do y'all see that? Now, many of you know me. You can see we're a good match. It's just obvious. But the parents were very much disturbed by a marriage that went on with someone that didn't seem like he had a future. It seemed like he was going to theology school and, just going on and learning, getting one degree after another, and he had no intention ever of having a real job and making money. And then when you become a minister, you don't make any. That's one of the deals about ministers. The holier you are, the poorer you are. That proves how holy you are. And so, praise God. But still, thanks for it, because I'm enjoying myself. Always have. Now, so when Moses got in this little cleft of the rock thing and God put his hand over the thing and walked by and showed him his backside, this is what God said. I want to read this. This is so good. I got it here in the Bible. I get everything out of the Bible. So here, 33:19. All right. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. This is God talking to Moses. I will proclaim my name. In other words, I'm going to show you all my glory before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Huh. So what God is saying right there is to everybody, but particularly now to the Jewish people who belong to him, that he created as his people, who are supposed to keep his law, never did. He's saying to them, if I want, I just gave this law, be perfect. I mean, you know, when you marry somebody, they're never perfect. I mean, the minute you marry them, they not only have all of their imperfections, but yours also. And that makes for a real trouble. Because now you got two imperfect people, each determined to control the other one. I know most of you think, well, I wouldn't do that. Yes, you would. You may bury it, but you got desires and you're selfish too. And so here you're married to somebody else who's selfish, and I just can't imagine why Peggy would ever want to argue with me. I'm just so smart that I can just see right away the answer to everything and just tell her, and like, why do you want to discuss that? And she always wants to put 2 cents into it. Peg, just leave it. I just saved you a whole bunch of time. And for some reason, she wants to say what she wants to say. Well, why do you think God made me the head? See, I'm the head. You're the submitted one. Just submit to the head. Look how happy you'll be. But she never quite bought into that concept. Bo. Assiduous on that. Oh, I think that's a burden on me. You said you were taking it. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. And so Peggy's a legalist about being blessed. I'm supposed to get the... You call that a blessing? You call that a blessing? Yeah.
Jen, use that one.
You're going to do that one? Okay, that's a good one. Works good. Should I quit the sermon? Yeah, okay. I'll quit right now. This is Father's Day, so it's okay. So the good Father is like God, who's our Heavenly Father. He takes all the burden, gives us all the blessing. If Jesus is on a cross and something's happening, it's the Father's job to raise him up. It's not Jesus's. Jesus doesn't have to do it himself. He's got to try and raise himself up. He lets the Father do everything. How many know you have a God that is so for you that he can never be against you? I mean, ever, ever. I mean, once he says he loves you, he can't say, oh, I've changed my mind after what you just did right there. That's it. Okay, cutting you out of the will now. No, he can't do it. Once God says, I love you unconditionally, he can never change his mind. People can, but he can't. God can never change his mind. I love that about God. God is just, you can't abuse the guy. He just loves you and he won't change. You can't say to him, stop loving me. Your love is just weighing me down. He'll just keep loving you. He is determined, for example, America. God bless America. Did you know that God blesses America? He likes America. But he also is going to judge America for deviating from the plan, the program. And it's not for our destruction. It's for our chastening so that we turn back to him and say we're sorry. That's all he's ever wanted. I mean, no, he doesn't want you to behave. He just wants you to confess you didn't. That's all. You just say that. And so I've learned, Danny, just to say to Peggy, okay, all right, it's my fault. Okay, I did wrong. Okay. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? I admit it. Did you know that's all God's ever wanted? Just that. Peggy wants more, but God only wants that. Peggy wants me to prove it. You know, I don't believe you. Peg, you just have to take it by faith, sweetheart. Just take it by faith. It's a good intention. Because we're not perfect, you know. How many know we're not perfect? And you don't have to be. God loves you as you are. Before you even say you're sorry, He's already loved you. Sent Jesus on the cross to die. He's dead. He did it. It's over. Rose from the dead. He's now sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you, loving you, wanting you to be happy every day, every minute, every second. I mean, that's our job. Our job is to worship God with all our heart and soul and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. You love yourself. Okay, love your wife as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your enemies. Bless your enemies. Why? Because they can't hurt you. If God be for you, who could be against you? This is what made America. What I'm telling you right now is America's not like Europe. America's not like Africa. America's not like actually, Africa's becoming like America. And I've helped in that. I know there's millions and millions of Africans that are believers in Jesus and being set free by the teachings. I made another one this morning in Dallas, another television thing. And we just send those overseas, and they have a big impact over there. I'm well known over there. They like me. Here I'm not so well known, or I'm known, but I'm not appreciated. Or I'm appreciated, but not that much. I tell you what, are you all having as much fun as I am? Because I got a God that no matter what I do, He still likes me. That is amazing. That is such good news. I don't find any bad news in the Bible. I only find good news. So I see an America that's going to kind of go the way I'm going. Is that kind of surprising? I don't see America as anything. I see God as everything. And we originally put this nation, it was dedicated by the founders to God. One nation dedicated to God and to His liberty and to His understanding of every creature having value in His sight. Nobody else in the world ever had that background, ever had that teaching. And even today, we export, you know, all kinds of things, but we're not exporting that truth. We're not exporting that truth. And I do, wherever I go. We're going to Israel in September, and it looks like we're going to have a full group as of today. But it's powerful, and it's going to be beautiful. But I only have one message, that same one is here. Is stop working. Stop laboring. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. For my yoke, it's easy. My burden, it's light. So He's not asking you to do anything. He's already done everything for you. Now He's working it in you. And He said, the good work I began in you, I'll finish it. I surely will finish it. Don't worry. You don't have to finish it. You don't have to help me. You don't have to do a thing. I'll do it. I like that. Oh, you know that God keeps His word. That's the one thing about God. He can't lie. He never lies. He's the only one that tells the truth. Buddha, and I don't believe those other guys. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. They want to force their deal on you. You have to do this and you can't do that. I like our religion. There's no rules. There's no laws. It's just good news all the time. Good news. Jim, I love you just the way you are. Just as I am without one plea. I love that. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. I like that idea. Of thee I sing. Long may your land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might. So all the power of God is all to help the nation. I'm giving the nation to him. You know, I'm part of the what he had in mind, thing. How about you? Do you believe that God is protecting us because he's protecting his own worship and his own service? I mean, we're, what he was looking for is where people would worship God freely without the government telling what to do or what not to do or Mother May I or anything like that. We don't need the government to do it. We govern ourselves. And the fact that we've let the government take over, it's our own fault. Here's the last verse. 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. What's it say? Well, it says, let judgment begin with Obama. No, it doesn't say that. Let judgment begin with the wicked businessmen. Nope, doesn't say that. Let judgment begin with the divided nation. Nope, doesn't say that. Let judgment begin in the household of God. That's us. He's talking about us. We're the light and the salt of this world, of this earth. We're the hope right here. There isn't anybody else. We. You are. In Greek, it is real clear. When it says you are, that means there ain't any other. Nobody else. You are the only light and the only salt. Well, how can that be? Well, because Jesus is the light and Jesus is the salt inside of us, working that out through us, and that's his business. I don't even know how he does it. But however he does it, he wants, this is his program, this is his idea, and the American founders weren't trying to build a utopia. They weren't trying to build some good government of men. They were trying to build a good government under God, based on God's promises, not man's. They didn't think it was a two-day deal. You know, you do your part, we'll do our part. They felt it was a one-way deal. God, you brought us into being. We're dedicating this thing to you. Take care of your thing. I'm not looking to Obama or anybody else. I don't blame him. I don't care what he does or doesn't do. I bless him. I bless that man. He could become a strong believer like me. I pray for him. That'd be great. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if you prayed for him and then all of a sudden he changed and he said, somebody's praying for me, and you said, me, rather than, oh my. Because you weren't even blessing him. I mean, you know that God wants you to bless him. Bless those that are in power and authority. Pray for those that are, that's a big heavy burden there. Will they sin? Well, so what? Don't you? Yeah, but I cleaned mine up. I'll bet. No, look, none of us are angels. None of us are perfect. Our whole perfection is due to God finishing what he started. So let judgment begin with the household of God. God, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. That's four things. We got to do four things. If my people will humble themselves, there's a big one right there because we're proud. Well, thank God I humbled myself. How many know? You can't really humble yourself. Did you know you really can't? You know what he's talking about? What he's talking about when he says humble yourself is confess your sin. That's what he's talking about. God, I have not prayed for America. I have not blessed my country. I've not blessed my neighbors. I've not been a good church member. I didn't worship you like I should have. I didn't take care of my wife like I could have and the kids and so on. I messed up. Forgive me. Humble yourself and pray. In other words, give God all the praise because he kept you alive until this day. And then what? Turn from your wicked ways. Well, that's a small one. Turn from my wicked ways. If God doesn't do it, you're not going to do it. If God doesn't do it, if God doesn't convict you, and then you realize, God, I can't. I need you to do it. You do it. You do it for me. You do it in me. You do it through me. Thank you. How many know that God will do that? God doesn't want you to be good. He wants to be good for you, in you, and through you. That's all. Just be his vessel. Be his church. Be his temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Could I hear anybody say amen?
Amen.
Now, so we've covered the verses that cover us. Happy Father's Day. What about America? I believe it has a destiny. Based upon the foundation that we had, even though we've deviated from it, I think we're the ones responsible to bring it back. I think if just this church, forget all the other church, just this church, you just pray. Don't worry about everybody else. You just pray fervently. God, forgive us our sins. We're going to turn from our wicked ways. Just you show us what they are, you take care of it, and we'll give you all the praise. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. This is a good message. This is a very good message because it's very simple. Is there isn't a problem. There is no problem. There is no problem. All the problems aren't problems. God has the solution. There. That's the problem, is you don't know where the solution is. It's God. Just a nation that forgets God, it has no foundation. But He is the indispensable foundation of all of our liberties, all of our rights, all of our everything you can think of. God already did it before you were even created, before you were even born, before the foundation of the world. He already paid for everything. If God be for us, who can be against us? The answer? No one. There's no one can stop us. I love you all. You're good. God bless you. David.